time. For the fastest 3 hours in morning talk radio, live and local, it's the Ed Dean Radio Show. Here he is, the headliner, the showstopper, the main event. Here's Ed Dean.
Hour number three, yours truly, Ed Dean, along with AJ Davis, right here on WBOB FM 101.1 AM 600. Email address is ed@wbob.com. Also, download the app, listen to us anywhere you would like, online, smartphones. For some of you, they're not that smart. But some of the smartphones out there, little humor there. And also,
very little.
Yeah, very, you didn't write about that. It was very little. I didn't write that one. Anyway, and also you can listen to us online and the latest blogs we have. Real quick to the point on some of the stories out there. Again, go to WBOB.com. We're going to get to our trivia, phone calls, a lot of issues, plus more of your phone calls. We got it all wrapped up. But before we get to all that, here with the news, AJ Davis. Good morning.
Good morning, Ed. Former U.S. Representative Corrine Brown is due in court today again, asking for a new trial this time, hoping to reverse her conviction back in May, where she was found guilty on 18 fraud and tax charges that could send her to federal prison. Brown's attorneys say the jury's decision wasn't valid because U.S. District Judge Timothy Corrigan removed a juror during deliberations and had the panel start over with an alternate. U.S. Senator, Florida U.S. Senator Marco Rubio, says he's glad to see President Trump's approach for improving our immigration laws. Rubio said a bill that prioritizes welcoming people to our country should be based on their skills, not just on whether they have a family member already living here. And also Rubio says learning English for immigrants must be a must. Also, the Trump administration just approved a sweeping waiver for the state's $26 billion Medicaid program, move that guarantees the state extra money but does not contain some additional conditions sought by Governor Rick Scott's office. The approved five-year waiver does increase funding for low-income families by nearly $1 billion to $1.5 billion.
All right, we'll take a couple quick calls before we get to Kevin Derby. You want to go? Let's go to trivia first. Let's get that knocked out of the way. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I am. I'm rolling. You have the answer to my trivia.
Yeah, that was Paul Volcker, who was the chairman of the Federal Reserve at the time, and he had, I think, raised interest rates to like 17%.
Right. Now, the question is, and Mike's the answer, Mike's answer is the winner, is that this is what some of the talking heads, political pundits, it primarily comes from the left, but they say that, well, Reagan didn't win because it was a bad economy with Jimmy Carter. Reagan didn't win because because of what happened in Iran. It was because Paul Volcker, who was the Fed chair at the time, raised interest rates on purpose to put in Ronald Reagan. That's what we hear. So
Carter responsible for the economy, which required that.
Yeah, that's what they say. But
Jimmy Carter was responsible for the economy, which required the high interest rate to fight inflation.
Yeah, to fight inflation. Well, he did such a bang up job there. Hey, Mike, you got the answer, my friend. And AJ's going to, just stay on hold. AJ's going to get your name and information. If we pull it out this week, you can win Ed Dean's money.
Okay, well, I think an interesting thing is that I remember this well because I bought my first home and I assumed a loan at 12%, and that was an outstanding deal at the time.
Right.
12%.
Yeah, wow. I wish I could get that on a rate of return on some of my investments. I'd be happy.
I know.
Mike, good to talk to you, my friend. Good to talk to you. AJ, we'll take a couple of quick phone calls. You want to go to Greg? Let's go to Greg first. Greg, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
How's it going?
What's up, ping pong? What's up, ping pong champ?
That's right, baby.
Hey, I think the new fake story is going to be that the Russians are causing global warming.
Sooner or later, it's got to be the Russians. We got to blame them for everything.
Yeah, I know, man. With all that uranium that Hillary Clinton sold them, I think that's what's causing it.
Ah, I never thought about that.
Yeah.
Well, if we can't blame it on race, if we can't blame it on this, I mean, remember Trump's legal immigration has to do now no longer with Hispanics, according to the clip we played this morning. It has to deal with those of the diversity visas. It's an attack on black people coming from the Caribbean and from Africa, but yet a lot of it also affects what happens in Europe and South America. Everything's everything. Listen, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. Does Trump? He could officiate a wedding for an LGBT community, and it would still be he's doing it because he's a racist. Go figure. 904-222-8255 with the morning lead. Kevin Derby is the political writer for Sunshine State News. Let's get to him right now. Hey, brother, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, Ed. How are you?
Good. Did you get some rest this weekend?
I did, thankfully. It was a great weekend. How was yours?
That was good. Yeah, we'll find out later today when I talk to you. So anyway, I kid. Hey, Al Lawson, the congressman, one of the congressmen out of Jacksonville, is in the news. What's going on with him?
Yeah, Al Lawson, a lot of the Democrats in Jacksonville seem to think, well, Al Lawson's kind of he's just holding the chair. He's just keeping the seat warm for somebody else. Whether it's, he beat Corinne Brown in a fluke, they'd argue, and they'd say, well, Corinne Brown or Alvin Brown or perhaps Bea Jones, whoever, could beat him in a primary. And look, he's starting to make a little bit of waves in Washington. You know, he's actually unveiled a major, major student loan reform bill, trying to kind of get interest rates for student loans kind of back to where they are with the market. I don't think it's going to go anywhere, but he's getting a lot of the big Democrats on Capitol Hill to sign off on it. And it's a reminder, look, I know Corinne Brown's kind of in the news once again today, but it's still at the point where Brown, Lawson's one of those guys, he's proving a little more effective leadership than people think. And I think a lot of the Duval County Democrats, they don't know Lawson. He's been in politics since the early 80s. He's not quite the seat holder they think he is. I think Lawson's a little more substantial figure there. Sorry, getting a lot of feedback here.
Yeah, AJ. Hold on. We're getting a little feedback from the phones. It's always the weekend crew who's always here. Then something goes south. But, there we go. Go ahead. I can hear you now, Kevin.
Yeah, so we'll see what Lawson does. And, I'm curious to see where this bill goes. And if any more of the top Democrats sign off on it.
All right. Well, it's going to be very interesting to see what that happens. Hey, by the way, is he going to get primary? What's the story with that, Al Lawson, in the Democrat primary?
There's constant talk about it, and there seems to be this presumption that, well, Corinne Brown, if she's cleared of all charges, if she's not going to jail, she could take him on in a rematch. If that's not the case, the name that seems to get bantied about quite a bit is Alvin Brown. And remember, Alvin Brown, back in the 90s, long before he was mayor of Jacksonville, did make two attempts to knock off Corinne Brown in the primary. Neither one were successful, but he did have congressional ambitions in the past. And Alvin Brown's kind of in a holding pattern. I mean, where can he go right now? I don't think he could beat Lenny Curry, but in a rematch. So if that's the case, this might be his best shot for higher office, to take Lawson out in the primary. I don't think it would be easy. I think Lawson's a very good campaigner, as Corinne Brown found out the hard way. But that seems to be kind of the fallback position. I do expect a major Democrat from the Jacksonville area to primary Lawson come 2018.
Are all these Browns related? I mean, you got Alvin, Reggie, Corrine. I mean, what's next? Doo-Doo Brown from the 1990s? What's going on here?
No, not related at all. And in fact, Alvin Brown and Corinne Brown were often political enemies.
I know on that one. So, but hey, by the way, I got about a minute or so left. What do we want to look out for the week here in a little bit of Florida politics? Anything? By the way, Marco Rubio distancing himself from the Gang of Eight. As of right now, he doesn't really have a problem with the Trump immigration bill.
We'll see. Look, Rubio's not really on the political radar until 2022. He has distanced himself a little from it. I'll be curious to see if he takes some of Trump's reforms and pushes them. But I don't expect much to happen really this next week. Look, Congress has gone home. They're going to be meeting their constituents. That's going to be one thing they'll keep an eye out for. Also, fundraising. Look, the gubernatorial camps are starting to unveil their fundraising numbers. Adam Putnam's total keeps increasing. $17 million already raised so far this campaign. If someone like Ron DeSantis or Richard Corcoran or Jack LaValla wants to make a move, they better do it quick, because right now Adam Putnam is sucking up all the oxygen in the room.
All right. Kevin Derby with the morning lead right here on the Ed Dean Radio Show from SunshineStateNews.com. Have a good morning.
You too, my friend.
All right. So 904-222-8255, 904-222-8255. We got a lot more issues coming up here in just a little bit with our guests lined up for you. By the way, I'm going to try to get up another trivia question at 829. I haven't even done it yet. I'm like you. I'm shooting from the hip.
You're not going to give the doctor a break today.
Well, according to the back area.
I'm supposed to be at work. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So you've been asleep for the first 2 hours. Yeah.
It's only I hardly think so.
No, I don't get to sleep till 9 o'clock.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot doing those weather reports. Anyway, sometimes the traffic with this.
Sorry to get you all that information.
No, I just love it, dude. Your dismay is my excitement. I mean, come on. I wish, you know what? So I'm really going to put up the cameras in here in a little bit. I want to see all this taking place. 904-222-8255.
Wow, we're in trouble then.
8255. More as we continue to move along. We'll take phone calls at the bottom of the half hour. 904-222-8255. The email address is ed@wbob.com. ed@wbob.com. Also, download the app. And you can listen to us online and read some of the blogs that we have up as we continue to move along. Don't forget, we'll have some more trivia coming up here in a few moments. Your phone calls ready to go right here on AM 600 FM 101.1. This is The Answer. Email address ed@wbob.com. Here on our newsmaker line on the Ed Dean Radio Show, former U.S. Senator here out of Florida, well-known political commentator on radio and columnist for the Tampa Bay Times, our friend U.S. Senator George Lemieux. So Mitch McConnell says on Fox News over the weekend that I'm ready to open up and sit down and deal with the Democrats on a compromise to deal with, I hate to say this, Senator, but let me put in my own words, to save Obamacare. What's this story about?
Well, this is unfortunately the result of the abject failure of Congress, particularly the United States Senate in this instance, to pass, repeal, and replace. And the truth is that Congress, as we've known for many years, but now cast in bold and stark light, is that the Congress isn't functioning. And so what McConnell is going to do now is, you know, is try to, I guess, open the door to work with Democrats to support the funding for the insurance exchanges, which are failing. Now, will that get enough votes to pass? Probably not, because it doesn't appear that Congress is functional and able to do anything. But it's an unfortunate place that we are, that a Republican-controlled Senate and a Republican-controlled House can't come together to work on things like a Republican, like a Democratic-controlled Congress did. So we'll see if it's just a negotiation tactic to get Republicans back to the table to try something else. But I think they're moving on from health care. I don't think that they're going to take another big stab at repeal and replace. I think they're going to move on to taxes.
Senator, is there, and let me throw this out there, is there a valid argument for a short-term bailout to make sure, as the Democrats, of course, are now trying to blame the Republicans for the insurance market not being stable right now? I don't buy into that. But is there an argument for at least a short-term fix until this situation can be resolved?
Well, there's a political argument for it. You know, the American people want, Republicans and Democrats, want government to function, and they want people in Washington to get things done. They may have different views about what government should do. So politically, if Obamacare continues to fail, this idea that that's going to benefit Republicans, I don't buy it. I think that the American public will look at Congress and will look at the White House and say, you had a chance to fix it. You didn't fix it. It's failed. I don't think they're going to blame Barack Obama. I think they're going to blame the people who are in office. So there's a political reason to do it. What's unfortunate for people who, like me, who were in the Congress, who railed against Obamacare at the time, said it's an entitlement program that we can't afford, when Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security are in trouble to start with, we can't add a new entitlement program, that we're in this situation where now we just have to accept it. And, you know, we had a report that came out from the trustees of the Social Security Trust Fund and the Medicare Trust Fund saying that in 17 years, Medicare and Social Security were going to be out of money. So how are we going to solve all of these big problems?
Where do we go to next? We hear about there's no sustainability for Obamacare. We're going to try to bring this up now. We've got now that we need to deal with the Democrats. We just talked about the insurance. How do you deal with the Democrats? I mean, is this, as you point out, it's the failure. But, I mean, the Democrats have not even actually said what their real problem is with Obamacare. They still believe that this is a success story. So how can you even compromise with a group of individuals who don't think there's anything wrong with Obamacare?
The only thing they think wrong with Obamacare is it doesn't do enough, and there's not enough government funding, not enough taxpayer funding for it. So any solution is going to be to put more money into it, which for a program that's already going to cost us $1 trillion more than we have to spend, a program where we're going to have to borrow money from China to pay for health care for a new entitlement program, It's amazing to me where we are. But there is no national consensus, even within Republicans, to get rid of Obamacare. You saw the numbers on Obamacare while this debate was happening. It was getting more and more popular during the debate. And, you know, we can say as Republicans that we don't like Obamacare, and we as Republicans don't like the term Obamacare, but ask people if they think that insurance companies should deny you if you have a pre-existing condition. Ask people if you can keep your, if you should be able to keep your kids on your insurance program until they're 25. Ask if they think it's okay for working people to get a subsidy to buy health insurance. All of those things poll very highly, and those are the components of Obamacare. So once you give Americans an entitlement program, it is very difficult to get rid of it.
And I don't see anything on the table right now. When even you talk about piecemealing certain areas, I mean, this almost, by the way, we're talking with Tampa Bay Times columnist, former U.S. Senator George Lemieux out of Florida here. So with the minutes, and I know you have, you're limited on time here, so with the few minutes you have, and you can take as much time as you like, if there's any type of room now to sit back and say, because remember, in April through June, and I agree with the Freedom Caucus, we wanted to repeal and replace. We couldn't even go down this road. The Republicans, pretty much, not the Democrats, had killed repeal and replace with McCain and Murkowski and Collins out there. Are we now going to look at a small victory of a whatever? We're gonna lip service Medicaid expansion, but only for 10 years out. Or we're going to get rid of certain parts of the medical device tax. I mean, I have no clue what they're even talking about right now to somehow have an alternative to what we have today.
No, I don't think we're going to get any of that, Ed, because the skinny Obamacare repeal, which is what the Senate voted on and failed by one vote to pass, was basically just that. It was to change Medicaid. It was to eliminate the tax. It was not very comprehensive at all. It was a tweaking of Obamacare, and that didn't get enough votes. So I don't think you're going to see any of those platform issues that Republicans ran on to get into Congress achieved. And really, realistically, what they need to do is they need to get the tax reform. Because if this White House and this Congress doesn't get any significant piece of legislation passed in the first year, year and a half of this presidency, they're not going to get anything done. And the most important thing they can do for all of their own elected viability is to keep this economy going. Right now, the only thing that's propping up Republicans is the fact that the economy is good. And they need to make sure that that economy continues. And the best way they can make sure that the economy continues to be strong is by tax reform, tax relief that, you know, kickstarts the economy to another gear. That'll bring in more revenues. That'll help us get closer to balance, but it'll also make the American people happier.
Tampa Bay Times columnist, former U.S. Senator out of Florida here, Senator George Lemieux. It's always good to talk to you.
Take care, Ed.
All right. I am totally disgusted by the, and I don't know if this is to be blamed on McConnell. Some of you could sit back and say some, and I, by the way, I think the insurance company and some of the other guys were rewriting this Senate bill. But when I look at Murkowski, when I look at Susan Collins and John McCain, and then I'm disgusted to sit back and say, well, it looks like we're going to have to work with Democrats on a health care provision. My friends, here's another question I want to ask you. The Democrats have absolutely not taken any blame. They still believe that Obamacare is running efficiently, which it is not. The 22 million people that will get kicked off their health care plan, as I said before, only about 9 to 10 million are actually even on Obamacare right now. A lot of those are because of the individual mandates. Nobody's being kicked off their plan. They have a choice. And yet, these guys don't think there's anything wrong with Obamacare. I mean, we all know the story. Come on, do I have to rehash this? Despite that it's created a monopoly which Democrats don't like, despite that we're in bed with insurance companies that Democrats don't like, and yet the very things that Democrats criticize is in Obamacare, and the very things that Republicans criticize they're allowing to stay in Obamacare. And yet, somehow, you want to come to the table and bring Democrats? I'm like, oh yeah, like what role is the Democrats going to have to bring us some efficiency? Here's the clip. Here's Rand Paul, because now we got to bail out when it comes to the insurance companies. Do we have that clip? No, he's not paying attention. Do you want to play that one there too? No, he's not paying attention on that one either. Hey, AJ, let me play the clip here. Here's Rand Paul on the issue of dealing with the bailouts.
This will be the first time that Republicans have affirmatively put their stamp of approval on a program where federal money, taxpayer money, is paid to insurance companies. And I really, frankly, am not too excited about, subsidizing the profit of insurance companies. They make a great deal of profit. Their profits went from $6 billion a year to $15 billion a year under Obamacare. And now they want to quadrant off the individual market where they don't make money and say, we want everybody to have insurance. We're so magnanimous, but as long as the taxpayer pays for it, and premiums will come down as long as you subsidize the people that get sick, which is what's supposed to be what the insurance is about. When you get-
All right. I mean, first off, we've already subsidized. I mean, we originally, until Rubio's bill got in, we were going to eliminate the balance, which we did. We subsidized by taxing the rich, by spending, taking money from Medicare by $720 billion to fund Obamacare. We tax the rich. We have investment tax, Medicare tax by the employers, and we still don't have enough money. And somehow the Republicans want to keep Obamacare alive by subsidizing more and more and more with the insurance companies, because somehow the Republicans are defenseless. They're defenseless. Oh, the media is going to beat us up. They're already doing it right now. Why again continue to give them more ammunition? So let's bail out the insurance companies. This is what it's come down to. More of this as we continue to move along here on the Ed Dean Radio Show. Okay, 904-222-8255, 904-222-8255, the immigration bill we've talked about. The left has made this all about race again. I'm really shocked. CNN comes out and talks about all the good things. No, all the things that Trump said he was going to do, but yet they claim it's bad. And then also these insurance companies, and oh my word, what is going on with a lot of this? But any questions or comments that you guys want to bring up on any of the issues that we've talked about, we can do it this morning. 904-222-8255, 904-222-8255. Here's an easy trivia question. Name me the first Republican governor since the days of Reconstruction. How about that one? For those of you liberals out there, that's since the Civil War. Name me the first Republican governor since Reconstruction, the Civil War. Plus your phone calls coming up next. 904-222-8255. The Republicans are defenseless, and they're just going to continue to prop up Obamacare because why? The media's beating us up, and we got to bail out the insurance companies. Your calls coming up next. 904-222-8255. Good morning, everybody. It is 29 minutes after the hour right here on AM 600 FM 101.1 WBOB. We're going to get to the phones right now. You want to go with George? He's been waiting real patiently, man. We like George a lot. So, by the way, George, if your call was not placed on time, that is not my fault. I'm doing an Obama thing. I'm blaming somebody else. I'm blaming AJ.
No, that's all right. You had the contest people calling. It's interesting.
George knows that that's wrong. It's
George
not
is
AJ's
a
fault.
Pro. He knows.
George is the man. Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. Look, 3 points. One is, I don't know why we even send people to Congress. The lobbyists run the place anyway. That's number one. Number two, the corrupt Clintons were doing the same thing as Obama. They were putting all kind of laws out there that they would ignore for several years, let corporations run up the bill, and then they would put the arm on them to give money to liberal groups.
Right.
Yeah, it's a game.
That's
Congress
right.
is part of it, and they're part of it. I mean, you got a bunch of lawyers up there, and what do you expect? And the third thing is, I know liberals who were training troops to go to the Middle East, and they were training troops in Arabic and Muslim culture, and they would never have them read the second part of the Quran, which has a passages for all the tricky ways they use to conquer a country. And call your congressman and say that they should be reading the second part of the Quran. And if you want to know a summary of what's in there, read IslamReview.com. Those are Muslims or former Muslims, I can't figure out which, who don't like the second part of the Quran, and they'll tell you the truth about what's going on in it.
If I'm hiring somebody as an interpreter, why do I want them to read the Quran?
Because it's not just an interpreter. I'm talking about the troops themselves, because they go out and actually deal with people. They tell the interpreter what to say, what not to say. More of our people need to learn Farsi and Arabic and stuff if we're going to be over there, because the first rule of Islam is taqiyya, and that is to lie to advanced Islam. It's in the Quran. It's in the other documents. And so... So there are a lot of good Muslims who want to kind of adjust the thing around, but they're overrun by the real fanatics and threatened with death if they don't go along with the second part of the Quran.
Hi, I appreciate the call. That was interesting. I was just asking. I mean, it's kind of like asking teachers when they teach to learn the Constitution. Really? Like they're going to really teach? I'm just saying that I'd rather have them carry a gun and speak with bullets. 904-222-8255. One of the stories we brought up with Mike Sonnen in hour number two, formerly chief political correspondent for Fox News, Jeff Sessions, according to Breitbart in the New York Post over the weekend, is investing a slush fund, $6 billion of money that was supposed to use for victims and educational purposes that went to left-leaning groups like La Raza, who believes that Texas was still illegally taken, and we're going to dig up the body of Santa Ana so we can get it back. So what do you? I'm going to look for Antonio Banderas from the Mark of Zorro to come out as well. I mean, these groups got this money, and the question I keep bringing up is, wait a second, the left leaning groups, they got the money to educate the public. You know how they educated them, don't you? They meddled into elections. That's what they did with the money. And of course, bailing out insurance companies. Mitch McConnell says we got to deal with the Democrats now. Really? Can you find me one or two that's going to vote your way? Let's go to Jeanette. Jeanette, good morning.
Good morning, Ed. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm pretty good. I'm ticked. Here's how I look at it. You have a Democrat Party that basically is morally bankrupt and they have a thuggish demeanor. And
right.
It works because they also have the mainstream media who are their bagmen. They carry the water. They hide stories that they don't want brought up, and they just burrow in on stories that have no meaning or little to no meaning. And then on the other side of the shell, you have weak, genteel Republicans who, in essence, are weak. Their demeanor is weak. They're afraid they're going to they're afraid they're going to tick off the American people because the Democrats have told them that. So they don't do anything, and they're frozen. And the problem is, we Americans, we're stuck. Because if we don't support Republicans, then we're stuck with the thought. And then if we vote Republicans, we're stuck with the weak. I mean, I'm telling you, term limits, we have to have term limits.
Amen.
Who is going to do it? Now, I did see over the weekend, Ted Cruz, I think, put in issued a bill. That's the answer. And unfortunately, they are never going to vote themselves out of power.
Right.
That's where we're at.
I appreciate the call. You know what I say? Listen, I'm not trying to single one individual out. Primary them all. I mean, real quick, before I get back to the phones, this is what I'm getting at. If you live in a community, Ron DeSantis or Sheriff John Rutherford, Congressman Rutherford, or Ted Yoho, and let's say the number one issue is dredging the St. John's River, all right, dealing with the port. Let's say it's a vast majority of those in the community sit back and say that's their number one issue, or beach renourishment, or tax cuts, and they don't vote for what the majority of those want out there, then, folks, I say you primary them all or you defeat them. I don't care, Dem or Rep. That's the alternative. You keep forcing them and forcing their hand until they do the right job. I'm just telling you that's the way it is. Some things will never change. All right, Bruce Hornsby. 904-222-8255. Deborah, good morning.
Good morning. As I wake up, you're talking about health insurance, and believe it or not, I spend 800 hours a year fighting the insurance company, and I have the Cadillac of the insurance. I have the same insurance that the congressmen have. But which is interesting, McConnell, if you look at McConnell, where does a lot of these claims get processed, some of these insurance companies? Kentucky. They also get processed in Tennessee. So, and I have to give dittos to Rand Paul because he's trying to fight this and he's having a hard time with it. But I thought you might like to know, have another interesting prospect.
Right.
I just got a copy of the Washington Representative of 2017 spring from the Columbia Books and Informational Services. That book is over 2,000 pages of all the lobbyists. But in the back of that book, it has the current people that are in Congress and who has come out of their offices to be lobbyists Mitch McConnell has over 40 people that have worked at his office that are now lobbyists in Washington, D.C.
Well, now you found out who wrote the health care bill for them.
That's right. But actually, the bailout started, I hate to say this to you, it started under the Reagan administration. This is when federal employees had to start paying Medicare and also had to start paying into Social Security, the new federal employees that came in, because they had to try to bail it out. Well, that was 30-some years ago. We're still bailing it out.
Yeah.
And the problem is it's gotten worse, and we are. It's going to bankrupt this country. It's already bankrupt this country, unless they start doing something about it. But I will make this prediction. I think in 2018, they're going to be surprised how many of these representatives will be cantered. Look what happened to Eric Cantor. Well, they're going to be cantered out.
Let's hope. Hey, I appreciate the phone call. Let's go to, who you want to go with next? Let's go to Patrick. Patrick, good morning.
I'm just calling a lady two calls ago who wants solutions. It's
yes,
called
sir.
Article 5, Convention of States, to the only solution. You're not going to fix D.C. in D.C. It has to come from the state representatives.
If you can't get the Article 5, what's your alternative?
Well, we're doomed. There is no solution. They're not going to fix themselves.
Well, here's a question. If they don't abide the Constitution right now, what makes you think new limits on a new constitutional convention will do it?
Well, that's the only choice we have. What else are you going to do?
Vote them out to put pressure on them? Put pressure on the Republicans that, again, if the biggest, and I appreciate the phone call, the biggest issue is, if your number one local issue is dredging the St. John's, if your number one issue is repealing Obamacare, and your representative does not do what the number one issue is to what the people have said, then you primary them. Folks, that's the only way to do it. If you say, well, Ed, I'm not happy with the Democrat, then fine, you put in another Republican then. We had this situation in 2010. And if they didn't change it, you do what Trump's doing right now. I'm not saying you have to agree with him. I don't care if you go through 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 House White House communications director in 1 year. You do it and do it and do it until the job gets done. Well, Ed, what about no. You do it and you got to move the decks on the table around, the chairs. You do it until you find the right individual, folks. That is how things get done. I'm with you. I want it to happen overnight, but it ain't happening. So if you want it to happen overnight and you're not happy with 2 to 3 years out, then you need to start changing right now. And if you're not happy waiting 2 years down the road, then you need to start recalling some of these people. Boots to the ground. I'm just telling you how it's done. 904-222-8255. Political trivia. Name me the first Republican governor who was elected since the Civil War here in Florida. Who is that Republican governor? Win Ed Dean's money. More of your phone calls, 904-222-8255. Ed Dean right here on FM 101.1 AM 600. This is WBOB. Let me throw out a few fun trivia questions. Some of you, I cannot believe, do not know who was the first Republican governor since that of the days of Reconstruction. That means after the Civil War, the war between the states. Who was that governor? Also, let me throw one more at you. You want a little bit of J. Edgar Hoover history? During the 1950s, Hoover suppressed damaging information like heavy drinking, fabricated military record, illegal campaign financing, compulsive gambling. He suppressed all this information on what prominent politician? Who was that politician? I guess maybe you liked him, but all the dirt on this politician he was not going to give. Who was that very well-known prominent politician in the 1950s that J. Edgar Hoover just kept everything quiet? 904-222-8255. Some of the questions before we get to trivia. Of course, the Breitbart and the New York Post is reporting over this weekend that Jeff Sessions is investigating $6 billion into what was called a slush fund for left-wing leaning groups. where it was done through the Obama administration. For example, let's say that there was a lawsuit due to fraudulent mortgage-backed securities, whatever. Let's say that you wanted to sue Volkswagen for not reporting their gas emissions. That those that were in a class action lawsuit, the money did not go to the victims or the causes. Instead, they went to left-leaning liberal groups for their purpose to put out all their propaganda, which also means, uh-oh, they put out during the middle of the election cycle, which is no different than what we see from taxpayer money going to Planned Parenthood or teachers in their union money. Again, they're spending money on candidates that maybe you may not agree with. So it's nothing new. 904-222-8255. Let's go to Marty. Hey, Marty, good morning.
Good morning, brother, and it's always a pleasure listening to your show, which we listen every day. The first Republican governor was Harrison Reed.
No, sir.
That's what my memory bank says.
You're okay. Not. Well, what do you mean? You're not even that old, first off, number one. Number two, it's since Reconstruction. First Republican.
Barry Manilow. Write the songs that people sing, anyway.
Ah, I like that, man. You're good with the phrases this morning.
Yeah, I am. I've been eating my Wheaties.
Where did you have dinner this weekend? At the Coco Cabana?
Yes, I did.
All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
His name was Lola.
Ah!
Okay,
Wait. Her name or his name? I'm sorry.
Today, his name was Lola.
Yeah.
He thought he was a boy who was a girl. So anyway.
Yeah, I know. There's been others. Go ahead, my friend.
Now, that's about it. Did you read years ago, they had a case of a husband and wife who both, I don't know if they were trans or whatever, that the husband thought he was a woman, and he became a lesbian as a man. And this is not a joke. You can look it up on the computer. And the wife became a man. So there's a lot of freaks out there. And I think that's why Ripley's, believe it or not, on San Marco is still in existence.
Wow. Interesting.
I'll leave you. And good show as always. God bless America.
Thank you.
I think Marty's been eating his Wheaties.
I like it.
Wow.
What was the movie with Anthony Perkins? 1950s, where he dressed like Norman Bates. What was that movie?
Now I remember everything about it.
What was the name of the movie?
Psycho.
That was your first area. Somebody had pointed this out to me because there's I'll get to it. That was the first area of, I guess, your changing your LGBT crowd, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Transgender people. Anyway, so 904-222-8255. Mitch, good morning.
Morning. I'm not quite 70 yet. I was thinking maybe we would ask you.
That's a good one. Reuben Askew was a Democrat.
Claude Kirk. I'm sorry. I was thinking of
that. There you go. Claude Kirk is the correct answer. So if you will.
I don't know what maybe thinking Reuben Askew. I guess maybe I was a Democrat back then.
Were you a Democrat back then?
I was.
Were you a conservative Democrat?
I was.
All right, because there's an old. Go ahead.
I changed party when the Democratic Party nominated George McGovern to run for president. I switched parties.
Interesting. I've heard that a lot, many times. Yeah, many times I've heard that. Hey, Mitch, stay on hold, brother. Age is going to take your name information. 904-222-82. That's right. Claude Kirk was the first Republican governor since that of the days of Reconstruction. My uncle was his pollster. So. 904-222-8255. So let me get to the clip here. Another clip. Here is, of course, the liberal left. This is about Trump's legal immigration, about slowing down until we find out who's here to assimilate. It has nothing to do with illegal immigration, but again, to make sure that those from other countries are not taking the jobs away from American citizens. Here's clip number one. Luis Gutierrez says this because of the English only, by the way, which has been around for years, for them to, when they become a naturalized citizen, to learn the culture. This is based on racism. And you'll listen to what he says here. This is no longer based against of Mexicans. Now this issue is based on racism against those of the black community.
If you are brown, black, Asian, or anything other than English-speaking, highly trained technician, the Republican Party doesn't want you here. So are you calling still racist?
Oh, I think it's absolutely a racist proposal. There is no doubt in my mind. Look, If you take diversity visas, Alex, everybody knows that 90%, and they want to eliminate them, 90% of the diversity visas go to who? Black people who live in Africa, in sub-Saharan Africa, or in the Caribbean. And you're just going to eliminate it?
All right, now let me stop right there. Again, every day I come on this radio show to revise the liberals' revision of history. This was passed in the 1990s, signed along by the Democrat Senate, Democrat House, and signed into law by George W. Bush. A diversity visa, which is known as a green card lottery, does not just go to the Caribbean or to Africa. It's distributed among Asia, Europe, Turkey, Cyprus, the Soviet Union. Oh, by the way, Central America and South America. And the role is that, again, the country that pretty much that has the last group of people coming in, 50,000 permanent residents, they want to diversify the immigration population by seeking applicants from countries with low rates of immigration. So if Africa has a high rate, then what they're saying is, well, we got to have more diversity. Then what about South America? What about the Soviet Union? What about Europe? So that's what they're talking about. So somehow, and this is the law that was set into place by the Democrats, that somehow more people coming from Africa, we want to slow that down because we want to make everything more diversified. Somehow that's considered racism. I've told you, folks, it doesn't matter. Donald Trump could officiate a transgender wedding, and somehow the liberal left will make it a racist argument. And, of course, now the new term is historical flip-flopping. That's what it's called now, historical flip-flopping on all these issues. For example, here is Charles Blow, columnist for the New York Times on race and immigration.
The convenience of the flip-flopping, though, the historical flip-flopping, not the contemporaneous flip-flopping. White people literally invented racial caste systems in this country. Like, I mean, look at the American Anthropological Association. They did a whole statement about this. Literally invented it in order to advantage themselves and disadvantage others.
And then they all became Democrats.
You can go with that if you want to, but I'm going to finish this point. Right? And it succeeded so well that people were isolated and were forced to create, to enjoy and luxuriate in their own cultures.
Here it comes.
And now all of a sudden, as America browns, and there are now more brown babies being born in America than there are white babies, and all of a sudden then it becomes, we now need to look at, discrimination against white kids in college. Now we need to have everybody assimilating when they come. Now we need everybody to speak English.
Now they say because the roles are reversed, now white people are declaiming, oh, they're the minority, that they're being discriminated against. Discrimination is discrimination. Doesn't matter. Asians, black, Hispanics, whatsoever. But the bottom line here is this is about legal immigration. And again, the liberal left cannot defend the issue. Again, I think it should be based on the economic numbers out there. If there are not enough jobs, again, you got to slow down the immigration because they got to live off of something. But the jobs are not there. But to them, it's always about the issue of race. Just, folks, you can't blame Russia. Got to blame race. And if it's not race, we blame Russia. Or we blame the race on Russia and Russians on the race. And who's winning? All right. We thank God every day for this radio show. Thankful to many of you. You can always email me throughout the day, ed@wbob.com, ed@wbob.com. Also download the app and listen to us anywhere you would like. Mornings, AJ Davis, along with yours truly, right here on the Ed Dean Radio Show, 6 to 9, FM 101.1, AM 600, The Answer.